Today we are focusing in on some very important pieces of scripture that often its importance escapes us. Let us first hear again the collect for today. Holy God, we lift our eyes to you in hope and awe. Grant that we may reject all apathy of spirit, all impatience and anxiety, so that with the persistence of the widow, we may lift our voice again and again to seek your justice. Amen. Going back in time to Jeremiah the prophet, and Jeremiah the prophet was writing about 600 years before Jesus. And this piece of scripture that we had read to us today as our first lesson probably was one of the prophecies of Jeremiah which helped the early Christian church in its formation in the 20 years or so after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And I want to sort of tie it all together. In the time of Jeremiah, the kingdoms were being attacked. The northern kingdom of Israel had fallen. The southern kingdom of Judah was at the edge of falling, and it did fall, and the early temple was destroyed. And the people of Jeremiah the prophet's time were complaining. They were feeling depressed. They were feeling under attack. They were feeling underappreciated. They were losing faith. They were feeling dark. They were feeling that the world is coming to an end because the way things should be are not happening for us. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And Jeremiah is saying to them, keep up your hearts. Keep focused in on God, who is Yahweh, who loves you, who's God with you. Keep focused there. It's not black. It's not all black in social conditions in your lives. You have forgotten the covenant of love which God gave you when he rescued you and brought you from Egypt to the promised land and took you through the desert. And you've forgotten God, but there is going to come a time when there will be a new presence of God which will help you write a new covenant, and you won't have to be taught by a bunch of priests to get this. You'll have it written in your heart that God is a God of love who is consistently always there with you, and you will not be forgotten. That piece of scripture was used 600 years later by the early Christian church as it was thinking about who is Jesus. Jesus had been with them. They weren't all theologians. They didn't really know everything, but they started to understand that they still had an abiding presence of Jesus with them in their hearts and in their midst as a community. And they started to understand that this, that Jesus is Messiah, come to be with us. And then they started looking through the scripture and they found this reading, this passage from Jeremiah. And they started to say, this is the promised person. This is our Messiah who has come with us. And it gave them a sense of courage as they were forming, because they were under a lot of pressure from both the Jewish community and the non-Jewish community. Israel at the time of the beginning of the early church was under tremendous attack. And the temple was falling again. 600 years before, and the temple had fallen under the Romans, it was falling again. And for them, this was powerful because they believed that God lived in the temple and that God's connection with them was through the temple. And here the temple was destroyed and they started to wonder, where is God? And the early Christian church started to say, God is within you. Jesus has been with us, and we now understand Jesus is Messiah, and God is within each and every one of us. God does not need to have some kind of a pipeline through a temple. But God is with each of us. That was quite an arousing moment. And we come to the reading from 2 Timothy, which is not the original Timothy of Paul, the partner of Paul, but someone who uses that name. And he wrote after the time, this reading, 2 Timothy, is written after the fall of the temple, long after the original Paul is dead. And this Timothy is saying, still, be consistent. Don't give up. Be present. Don't give up your faith. There's lots of energy that is negative, but be consistent because God is consistently with you in love. Now, this message is a big message and a small message. And the smaller sort of micro message comes from the parable that John read this morning about the unjust judge and the widow. And the widow was persistent. She knew what she felt was just to have happen. And this judge, who was sort of part of in cahoots with the culture of the day, he thought, she's going to wear me down. I'll listen to her. I can't take it anymore. But the message from that is to be persistent. Be persistent in seeking justice. We see an unfolding of this in our own culture today, where people who have been vilified and injured in the past are seeking justice after many years of not having their voices. We see it in Canada. We see it in the United States. We see women speaking up after many years of being treated as objects and second class. And they're speaking out. They have energy. And it's not just women doing it, but men walking beside them, inspired by the love of God in faithfulness. And this is the message: to be persistent for justice and to always walk in our lives with the seal of justice in our hearts. It's not about power, it's about love. It's about caring. And we as Christians are called to be a caring people. That's the message of the new covenant between God and us, as enunciated by Jesus, that God's love is always present and that we are to always appeal to that love and live in that love in our relationships with one another. We are the new community. We are the new Jerusalem. We are the people who are called to be treating each other with justice and love and forgiveness. That's who we're called to be. It's not always easy, but it's something that we are called to be. So what does that mean in a ramification for day-to-day living? It means really working to speak our minds, speak our truth, but then when it's done, it's done. Not to carry grudges. Not to feel that some are in and some are out. We're all called to be in. We're all called to be people who live in love and care and forgiveness and charity with one another and know that God is also love and charity with us. That we are a forgiven people and we are called to be forgiving. It's a challenge. I know it's a challenge in not just general terms, but this time of year is challenging because we're moving from the sunny time of summer when those of us who are affected by seasonal affective disorder, we love the sun. But as the days get shorter and the nights get longer, we can be depressed just because of lack of light. And then we have this sort of mood of, I mean, at least I'm not living in Alberta anymore, where I would face soon 6 weeks of minus 40 degree temperatures. Done that, been there, and don't want to do it again. But there is this sense of foreboding as the winter comes. There's a sense of foreboding about our lives because, you know, we're all getting a little older. But restate your love in your heart for Jesus, who loves us and calls us to love each other, to respect each other, to forgive each other. So I pray today as we receive the sacrament, remembering that we are the renewed people of God and that we are called to reach out, to care in love for one another, to be forgiving of sins as we have been forgiven, to live our lives in care and charity. May God bless us all as we journey together. Amen.